Prepare yourself. It's Big News Wednesday. I've been waiting 3 months to say that. JR Jackson, how's it going? Welcome back. I mean, I know you've been here the whole time, but welcome back to being with me. How you doing?
Yesterday was Tuesday. Tomorrow is Thursday. That only means one thing.
Is that how you were introing it?
It's Wild Card Wednesday. In the day, back before your day, John Natarola, it was Wild Card Wednesday. And I did run that a couple times. I even ran an opportunity for people to get the Blue Apron gift card, which I gave out a total of 2 to 3 times over 3 months. I gave the opportunity, if someone could tell me what that leads up to, old school TYT watchers, nobody fulfilled the promise, or no one answered the call, put it that way.
By the way, are we still giving out the Blue gift cards? Can I do that? Is that a thing that I can do?
I probably gave it out and I didn't give it to you.
Okay. Anyone. Well, in that case, let's do this again. We got a Blue Apron gift card and it is going to go to someone who sends in an awesome or insightful or witty comment. And I'll even give you a topic. What could Joe Biden do today that would reassure you that he can still beat Donald Trump in 2024? What is an action he could take that would say to you, he is actually listening, he is actually awake, he is capable of change, and he cares enough to change? Send me your comments, and one of you will get a $100 Blue Apron gift card. Now, with that said, we do have, what were we going to say?
Try to come, for the folks out there, come up with something that's different than the most obvious thing, because I think we all went to the first thing. Because that's going to, you're not getting a Blue Apron from the thing everyone's saying. Just saying.
That's true. I wonder if I'm thinking of the same thing as you. I am thinking the same thing that the OG Mountain Dragon is thinking of. But anyway, we have a lot of news to talk about. Most of it not really having to do with Joe Biden. It's been, I think we can all agree, a really serious couple weeks, couple months in the news. So we have got some fun, some lighter topics, still important, and things that actually I weirdly get very fired up about. But we're going to be talking about a lot of different stuff, including the rise of vending machines replacing aisles in supermarkets and the dark reason why they're doing that. We've got the fake fury from the right over the Thanksgiving Macy's Day Parade or whatever. And Ben Shapiro losing his mind over an OnlyFans model just living her life. It's his thing, but we're going to make fun of him a little bit for it. But with all that said, JR, ready to do this thing once again?
I'm just trying to figure out when I get to start the show because I'm used to this side now. Sit back. Let me go.
You sit there. I got this. Anyway, let's jump into things. Donald Trump is once again being accused of inciting political violence. And we're going to evaluate whether those accusations are fair. On Truth Social, he retruthed this. You can see a message from Von Ritter. It's an anonymous rando. Who knows who that person is or if it even is a person, but we do know what this person's fantasy is. My fantasy, all in caps. I would like to see misspelled Letitia James and Judge Engren placed under citizen's arrest for blatant election interference and harassment. Now, the idea that this random weirdo on Truth Social wants someone to just find Letitia James and the judge, track them down, place them under citizen's arrest, based purely on their understanding of that concept coming out of like movies from the 80s, is an issue. The fact that it got over 3,000 retruths is a slightly bigger issue. But the idea that Donald Trump, the guy who is being prosecuted by or judged by those two people, would spread it to his, and he well knows this, deluded group of crazies, that seems like a big issue. And so this is effectively Donald Trump saying, yeah, it's an interesting fantasy. Some crazy person from Truth Social just tracking these people down and effectively kidnapping them. And so people are saying that this is inciting them to violence. Jer, what do you think?
It's pretty obvious, but that's one of the points. This is the same. He has the same playbook generally over and over again. But this is also sometimes the result of what is he, his fellow children, and also Alina Habba have been doing. Every time they get a chance, they run to the cameras in front of the courtroom or in the lobby of the courtroom area and inside the courtroom and then right outside, then in the street outside, and then in the car on the way home, consistently talking about Letitia James and then this judge and then their clerk and over again about how they're coming for them. Look how unfair this was. You know what happened today? Do you guys know what happened today in court? And they run back out and do the same thing over and over and over again so they can get people to then feel like no matter what happens, because we already know he's lost this case already. It's just a matter of how much he's losing and how much they're going to judge as far as he's on the hook for because of the way that they've already adjudicated this case, is that they want the rest of the folks who then are supporting no matter what to feel like this is an injustice. Never once have they said, we've already lost this case. We just want to try and minimize the amount of damage and punitive damages that we're going to have to then result in afterwards. They won't say that. They just say, this is a witch hunt, witch hunt, witch hunt. They're coming for me and it's unfair. They already came for you and already got your ass. Now is the point when you have to then have to pay the penalties. That's what we're dealing with right now. But they don't want to tell other folks that. They want folks to be incited to the point where they'll say, hey, let's go find these folks that they continue to talk about every day that they say are coming for the attention. When who's in front of the cameras every day talking about attention? Lena Haba, sometimes Donald Trump when he's in town for it. And then his kids, who she keeps talking about, are just the children are being mistreated. These 45-year-old children are being mistreated.
I cannot believe he still calls them children. Anyway, yeah, look, this is, yeah, the accusations of this being incitement to violence, that's what it's designed to do. I have no idea if it's going to work. You know, any one of these things, any obvious attempt to stoke stochastic terrorism is unlikely to work. That's why they do so many of them. And I have to imagine that Letitia James and Arthur Engren are probably well protected, particularly during this case. So I'm not as worried about that. But these people are crazy that he's trying to communicate to. The idea that it's absurd and illegal to try to attack these people, or you know, that it would be incredibly unlikely to work, doesn't mean that they won't try. As we'll be talking about later in the show, there have been people on the right who have tried this before. We'll be talking about Paul Pelosi once again. And bear in mind, this is not like one random retruth and that's it. That's the only time he's weighed in on this. He has recently said that James should be prosecuted for committing fraud. So that is the former president of the United States telling his millions of followers she is a criminal who has gotten away with her crimes, on top of all of the other stuff of her supposedly being racist purely because she's a black woman, a million different things. And there are a million different randos, and he is hoping something will happen. And if it does happen, by the way, JR, if some crazy person tries to break into James's house screaming citizens arrest, it doesn't matter from the point of view of Trump. Like, it's not like, oh, he crossed a line. He said, you know, we should get these people. Then they went after them. Even if they're screaming the exact thing, citizens arrest, it doesn't matter. There's always going to be a wall between the actions they take and any sort of culpability. And that's just so frustrating, you know, going.
Yeah, it's, you know, this was proven out and they showed that they're willing to do this on January 6th. So yeah. And what was the result of that? You're talking about, you wonder what the response would be if someone would actually run up in one of these folks' houses, or at least attempt to with violence. We saw it happen in the Capitol. They ran up in that house and decided to try to commit violence. They did, or try to kill people. They didn't get that far, but they've already shown that they're willing to do it. And what was the response then? Freedom fighters, political prisoners, Americans, true patriots in jail for breaking into the Capitol and trying to kill people. That would be the response. They'd say, look, these are just good-hearted patriots trying to come after the bad people in America. That's what they'd say.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, they'll say that hospital's transing your kids, and it gets immediately bomb threats. Doesn't matter. The people who said it, doesn't matter. Like, just it doesn't matter how specific your claims are, how immediate the action is. You'll always be protected. That's why this is the tactic that they use. By the way, commenting on this, a lot of people are pointing out how utterly absurd and dangerous this is. But I did want to give credit to State Senator from New York, Mike Giannaris, who says citizens arrest is bonkers to begin with, and it shouldn't be used by aspirational despots to go after their perceived enemies. We must get rid of it once and for all. Glad our Senate passed my bill to do just that. This is something that prior to this, he'd already been working on, which, look, in the wake of these comments seems timely, but like, it didn't seem like a topic that even needed anyone to deal with it, because who is thinking about citizens arrest? But yeah, now that I think about it, I guess I no doubt that there's probably QAnoners and sovereign citizens and all these weirdos that probably have that in their bag of conspiracy theories. One additional thing, this I guess is less immediately threatening, but Trump also recently said that were he to become president again, special counsel Jack Smith and others would end up in a mental hospital. He used the term mental hospital because he also earlier this year called for mental hospitals to return. He's an old timey guy. No word on if they would be forcibly admitted to one of these hospitals, or if I guess they would just choose to go. But whether it's jail or someone's basement into a pit that they dug down there or a mental hospital, Trump has a lot of different plans for what should happen to all of his political opponents. Any final thoughts, Chair?
By the way, John, citizens arrest. California Penal Code 837 PC, or the citizens arrest law, was enacted in 1872. That's how current it is right now. The citizens arrest law. I've looked at a couple of the states, and basically what it is if a citizen sees something going down and they see a crime in progress, they can go, oh, there's a cop there. Hey, cop, look what's happening. That's what they can do. From my really quick 5-second read of it, so maybe I'm wrong, but that's what I saw.
By the way, I don't know what it is, but I made a reference to this. There was a movie where someone is screaming citizens arrest. I feel like it was Jim Carrey. I don't know for sure, but that is definitely what most people's thoughts about citizens arrest are coming
100%
from.
100% a movie thing.
Let me know what that movie is, because it's, oh, he's trying to citizens arrest someone.
On this vote, the yeas are 336, the nays are 95. Two-thirds being in the affirmative, the rules are suspended. The bill is passed.
Okay, I have to admit, a little bit surprised. The House of Representatives has actually passed their sort of specific segmented out stopgap funding bill to allow for the government to remain funded. That actually happened. It happened before the deadline. Now, the reason that it happened had very little to do with the Republicans who control the House. But the new speaker was able to actually make it happen, I guess, passing one of the first tests of sort of the bare minimum of allowing our government to continue to run. So, as I said, obviously, Democrats were integral to this. Almost all the Democrats, by the way, but a majority of Republicans did actually vote for this. The way that it was being discussed, required a two-thirds vote. So an even higher threshold, but because they had basically all the Democrats, they were able to pass that 336 to 95. So that is quite a few Republicans that are still opposed to it. And we're certainly going to get to some of their rationales for that. But if you didn't see our coverage earlier this week, I want to remind you of how long, assuming you know the Senate goes along with this, this would allow the government to continue to function. It would fund federal agencies at current spending levels with two different expiration dates. So for some government programs, fairly core ones, by the way, January 19th would be the extension. For others, it would be February the 2nd. There's going to be a number of issues, including, as we talked about, military aid to Israel and Ukraine and some policies having to do with the border. They're going to require separate discussions. So this now provides them with a couple of months to dive into that. And that is where those hardline conservatives will definitely be trying to get what they want. But I guess it's a good thing that it is going to be extended. I also want to remind everyone that as annoyed as like I might be covering the constant battle to just keep the government funding, and you might be having to hear these stories over and over, a reminder that most people agree with us that this is stupid and it needs to end. 3/4 of Americans don't think that government shutdowns should be a tool used to pursue your political strategy. 23% think that it's acceptable. And what do you know? Right now, Republicans are more than twice as likely, 37% to Democrats, 18% to say that you should be able to use it to bargain. I would guess that when the Democrats are in charge, that's probably reversed. But in either case, it is a very minority position. Someday we got to fix this system. But JR, are you surprised that they got a deal?
They always do eventually, even when they do the things like, you know, hold up and shut down the government for a week or two or even a couple weeks and go through the process of showing just how bad they are at this or how much they really can't get behind away from them, their own selves. So, yeah, I guess in a way I'm surprised, but also it always ends up that way at the end of it all. But Mike Johnson being a part about this is really where this whole thing changes, because look, Kevin McCarthy was trying to do this too. It didn't really work out for him, as we saw what happened his way. But Mike Johnson, who was one of the people who was always one of the disruptors, part of the group that was against the normal way that they do things, and they could have their issues with it. You know, some of the points that people make about the way that the funding happens and handouts and giveaways and inserting things that don't have anything necessarily to do with certain bills, and even when it comes to spending, I get all that stuff. If they actually go and specifically go about that, then you could have some more, I guess, credence behind your argument. But when it's just destroy the government and let's block that so we can get our way, even though we don't have enough of a majority to do so, that's just petulant behavior and doesn't have much to do with being a responsible official, elected official, instead of do the work of the people. It goes back to this, them again, themselves. But then once Mike Johnson is in charge, just a few weeks ago, gets in charge, suddenly this guy knows how to try and work with other folks, because obviously they need Democrats to get this through, and then is able to work with other folks and then do the things that he was always against. Weird how that works. Mm-hmm. I didn't know this was going to become a Kevin McCarthy credit session, but a little bit. Dude's doing the same thing.
Yeah, you know, you're sort of getting to, like, there's these multiple levels of irresponsibility and performative stupidity for, like, representatives. Like, they're obviously going to use this as a tool to accomplish their goals, but how willing are they actually to have the government shut down for a long time, or for, you know, to not actually make good on our national debt? Like, we know that those in charge have always said that they're willing to do that, but that would also, if that were to happen, it hurts all of their buddies at the golf courses and their fancy dinners. So they don't actually want that. And I guess maybe Johnson, you can now add into that list. It was a sort of open question of whether he actually would be on that side of it. But there are dozens others, I think, who maybe actually are willing to let everything get set on fire. And so far, they don't have enough power, that there aren't enough of them to actually make it happen. But feels like we're moving in that direction, everyone. So brace for impact. Anyway, we have some statements from the nearly 100 Republicans for different reasons were against this. So the Freedom Caucus put out a statement saying it contains no spending reductions, no border security, and not a single meaningful win for the American people. Republicans must stop negotiating against ourselves over fears of what the Senate may do with the promise, roll over today and we'll fight tomorrow. Again, look, I understand that it is not only the Republicans that have tried to use this to get something done, but it's not supposed to include spending reductions. Budgets do that. This is just allowing the spending to continue. Like, this is just allowing the normal flow of things. You have those debates multiple times per year about, you know, the future course of these programs. And look, I understand that, like, they have used this in the last few years to modify these programs. So I guess why shouldn't they expect that could continue? But it's not supposed to work that way. They're not supposed to get what their idea of wins are. From the point of view of the American people, I think our government actually functioning is a win and a bit of a surprise. But anyway, we have, let's go to Representative Bob Good, who said, Speaker Johnson has been on the job for what, 2 or 3 weeks now? It's like throwing in a quarterback in the fourth quarter and expecting to make up for three quarters of failure, and you're behind 35-0. The reason why Speaker Johnson finds himself in the position he's in is because of 9 months of failure under Speaker McCarthy. So obviously he does have some allies. And there's still many opportunities between now and January 19th or February 2nd for them to deliver these wins that the Freedom Caucus wants. But I do wonder if JR, if you're right, and he actually is willing to work with the other side or with common sense to get things done, is he just going to be McCarthy'd? They had talked about changing the threshold for getting rid of him. I don't know if they actually did that, though. So what do you think?
No, but they did talk about it so that it wouldn't happen again. But the problem is they don't. I don't think they want to go through that again. Even the likes of the Matt Gaetz of the world, I don't think he wants to go through that again. He was putting up a strong face in the middle of it all as he was catching bullets from every direction over it. But no, I don't think he wants to do it all over again. So maybe he would be okay with it. Or the fact that no one else wants to be that guy either. I think that part at least can go for now. But actually, who knows? There are a lot of crazy people there. No, but I don't think he's going to. The only person I think who suggested a little bit was Marjorie Taylor Greene, because she was one of the people that was on the side of supporting McCarthy still, because I think she still wants to have some level of access to power. But not really anyone else I think would pull this type of thing off again. So maybe Johnson is safe there. But eventually somebody's got to say, once we get to mid to end of January and the beginning of February, if we're having these fights again and they haven't gotten, you know, their pound of flesh that they want because enough people don't support them to do that, then they'll be petulant all over again and go for more fights. But they can't just go to kicking him out just like before. That would be disastrous. In an election year when they're trying to promote Donald Trump and maybe whoever else down ticket trying to get on, once we hit into 2024, the type of political maneuvering and decision making that's going to be absolutely the opposite of the things that they've said and done in the previous few years is going to be off the charts, especially now. That's just what I think. It's a little bit of a prediction, because you can't win like this. You can walk into an election year and be like, yeah, we disrupt the government. No, we don't want to fund it. That's why we're going to kick out the next speaker too. Nobody wants you. Nobody wants you if that's your approach.
I almost entirely, in terms of from the perspective of reason, I agree. They with getting Kevin McCarthy the first time and then trying to replace him both times, they've made themselves look like utter buffoons. I think there is still appetite out there to buffoon once again, but we'll see. We'll see. Good luck to Johnson.
The energy is always smoldering underneath. I agree.
Okay. We're going to take our first break, everyone, but don't you go anywhere because we have a lot of news to talk about, including presidential contender Nikki Haley's plan for social media. It's got a lot of critics and they're not all on the left. We'll be back with that and more after this. We're back, everyone. And if you're just joining us now on a platform where this makes any sense, please hit the like button so more people know we're live. Continue sending in your comments. We're going to choose that Blue Apron gift card winner by the end. But with that said, let's jump into this.
When I get into office, the first thing we have to do, social media accounts, social media companies, they have to show America their algorithms. Let us see why they're pushing what they're pushing. The second thing is every person on social media should be verified by their name.
Oh boy, Nikki Haley with some bold plans right there, immediately drawing condemnation from most people, because that's a huge change. I mean, look, there's two plans in there. There's, you know, transparency on the algorithm. I think that's an interesting conversation to have, but no anonymity online anymore. Look, there's the ideological side of that, and we'll have that debate here. But just logistically, how would that work? Social media is not three apps on your phone. It's everything on the internet. But anyway, look, maybe she'll explain it. Here's more of Nikki Haley.
First of all, it's a national security threat. When you do that, all of a sudden people have to stand by what they say, and it gets rid of the Russian bots, the Iranian bots, and the Chinese bots. And then you're going to get some civility when people know their name is next to what they say.
Accountability.
And they know their pastor and their family member is going to see it. It's going to help our kids and it's going to help our country.
They need to verify every single person on their outlet because, and I want it by name. Because when
what about Smug? Does he qualify?
I've provided them with my government.
If Smug is on your driver's license, then, and look, you can put Smug in parentheses, but I want everybody's name.
Parentheses thing get out of hand. But anyway, no, she's serious. This was not just an offhand comment. This is something that she's pushing for. And she got attacked by some Republicans, including those running against her. We'll get to that in a sec. But JR, what do you make of her plan there?
Come on, bro. So how? I mean, there's always simple questions to. And by the way, bro, I feel you, Nikki. She's trying something different. I've been saying this, and I want to make sure that I try to stay as consistent as possible. I've said it since all these folks jumped to the race to try and, I guess, beat Donald Trump. But they jumped in the race not saying they're looking to beat Donald Trump. They're trying something. I said, you got to do something different. You can't talk about the same things that Donald Trump talks about and says, I'm going to be the next president of the United States on the Republican ticket because I say everything Donald Trump says. That ain't going to work. They got Donald Trump already. She's trying something. I understand. I'll give her props for that. This just kind of is maybe someone should have told her beforehand. Before you go on the media tour talking about putting everyone, every person in what, the world? It makes a social media account and it's verified or whatever, make sure that we confirm who it is and background checks, whatever it is that could possibly make this happen, how impossible that is. And also how much red tape we're talking about, a bureaucracy controlling social media platforms. Who's in control? Is this a new office? I know that's a lot of logistical questions and maybe I'll come up with an idea sometimes that we don't know how it's going to come to fruition. So I get that part. But this is a lot. And then for the purpose of making sure people aren't saying things online that aren't going to embarrass them from their pastor. Pastor, who cares? How many pastors do these folks have anymore? The people that say disgusting things online, you think they're going to church on Sundays and they give a damn what their pastor is saying? Their pastor who probably has child porn on their computer and has touched and said disgusting things to their children already? Pastor, come on, bro. Come on, that the lid's off of that one. Nobody's worried about what the pastor thinks, the five people that still have one. But so I want to give her props. So he's trying, but she needs to try something else.
Yeah, it's a bad plan. for why is, if you have a pastor, why is a pastor following you on social media? That just seems weird. But yeah, like I said, in terms of logistics, social media is not just Twitter and Instagram and like Threads. That's not, or hey, in TikTok. No, it's a million things. So well, like Reddit, Xbox Live, YouTube comments.
Something else. Yeah, YouTube.
The entire internet is social, like Yelp.
Fox News comment section.
eBay, like all of these things are social. What are you talking about? And oh, well, no, we'll just do the top main ones. Well, then the insane stuff will go to the other place. Look, I am not against verification. I think that look, if you paid attention to me during the first year of Twitter being utterly destroyed by Elon Musk, clearly I care about verification. I think that there are a lot of benefits to come from it. And if everyone could and chose to go by their real name and was verified, then I think that there could be a lot of benefits that come from that. But obviously there are some negatives that I have to, I am saying this out of respect for Nikki Haley, that she knows about but is pretending she doesn't know about, because nobody could be so dumb that they don't know about how this would obviously chill so much speech. We have people in the comments talking about how they use handles specifically because they talk about things that could lead to deranged maniacs harassing them, trying to kill them. This is great. If you are a stable, powerful, wealthy person, sure, you don't have any problem talking about whatever you want, you know, under your real name. But if you're a person, especially outside of the US context, who's advocating for something where you could potentially be hunted down and killed for your political views, your religious views, your views on sexual orientation or gender identity, then this is obviously insane. And I have to assume that she has figured that out and is proceeding anyway, because it would be crazy to think that someone who thinks they should be president had not thought about literally any of the consequences of something they're advocating for.
And how does that work? The president's in charge of this? Again, whatever department or agency is supposed to take care of these things, I don't know if that's the president's job.
Yeah. Well, look, we don't like the plan. Ron DeSantis doesn't like it. Says, you know who were anonymous writers back in the day? Alexander Hamilton, John Jay, James Madison, when they wrote the Federalist Papers, which is not a terrible point, I guess, coming out of actually, that's one of his better points, I suppose. But he also is like perfectly down with state sanctioned censorship over tons of different stuff. Like, you shouldn't have to use your real name, but if you use your real name and you published a book and maybe you're queer or something, we're going to strip everything you've ever written out of every library. That's what we're going to do, and we're going to hunt you down. Like, this is a guy who has no position, no like elevated moral ground to be attacking her for supporting censorship. He 100% supports censorship. But anyway, Ramaswamy also attacked it. Like, you know, he's getting mocked from a lot of people.
To DeSantis's point, you know, the commenter on Reddit who's named FU4297843, he might have some amazing things to write in some new level of Federalist Papers. What kind of comparison is that? I get it. But the anonymous people online are the same as Alexander Hamilton, whoever else wrote any of our founding documents. Calm down.
I know. But there are citizen journalists and, you know, there are artists, obviously. There are people involved in sorts of relationships that would be prosecuted. Like, again, he doesn't care about a lot of that stuff. And he just knows that he's supposed to be for free speech or whatever.
Sorry, John. I'm a little tired today because I've been up since 1 a.m. to 1 a.m. every night this week. Can we just stop acting like the founding fathers and people who wrote documents hundreds of years ago have any connection to the way we live life right now, especially when it comes to internet and social media handles and anonymous digital handles online? Come on, bro. That has nothing to do with those guys. Let's not compare ourselves to them anymore. They're not gods. They're not deities. They're not whatever it is that we're supposed to try to become in 2023. It's okay. Just, we don't have to do that. It's such lazy connection and trying to sound like you're some kind of above level. 100%. Sorry, I'm grumpy.
That's okay. I'm tired too, man. I didn't even do my hair today. Okay, so with that, we got a 3-month-old. Although I have to assume that it probably still stays really difficult as they get older. How old is yours?
Mine is going on 12 this month.
12? Oh my God. I literally think of him being 6.
Hardest part of his toddler babyhood was his baby was teething. The worst moments of my parental life.
I'm not looking forward to that.
Eight Republicans last night voted with Democrats to shelf and kill my articles of impeachment against Secretary Mayorkas. Eight Republicans. I am particularly outraged at four of the eight Republicans that voted to shelf these articles of impeachment, voted to kill them, because four of them serve on the Judiciary Committee. And I have to say, one of them is Daryl Issa, and he said that I lack maturity. Well, I want you to know, it takes maturity to vote for impeachment. It takes seriousness to vote for impeachment, because we aren't going to stand by and watch our constituents get murdered by cartel members who are smuggling illegal aliens illegally into our country.
Look, Daryl Issa did call her, like you said, that she lacks maturity and experience. He didn't like directly say she's immature, but I'd love to have a conversation about maturity and have her be a part of that. Like, I don't see what it has to do with anything having to do with voting for impeachment, voting for Joe Biden's impeachment, or putting up, you know, like in this case for Mayorkas, the Homeland Security Secretary, is the easiest thing as a hard right conservative to do. It doesn't take any, doesn't take any strength or courage or whatever. But this is the woman who's apparently going around behind the scenes and calling her colleague Lauren Boebert a whore. This is a person who on video groped a cardboard cutout of Donald Trump. Like, if you really want to have a conversation about maturity, there's a lot that you could be attacked on. I'll add one additional exhibit. That would be this tweet that she sent out where she talked more about Daryl Issa, but said, "I am a hardworking member of Congress." He did say that about her. It's not true. "Who puts the American people first? But we all know what Daryl Issa lacks." And then there's a bunch of emojis of a football, a basketball, a baseball, tennis ball, and I think that's supposed to be a billiard ball. So he lacks experience with competitive sports. So, you know, he's not an alpha or whatever. I think that's what she means, JR. Pretty sure.
I think so. You know, Daryl Issa is also known for having that serious ass tan. So maybe, I don't know, he needs to lack his tanning bed. I don't know. But he doesn't seem like a very good basketball player. You're correct. I agree. Yeah. By the way, she mentioned, she says it takes courage, maturity, and like success, whatever she said. She's serious to bring up something like articles of impeachment. That's what it was.
Yes.
When articles of impeachment came up against Donald Trump, I remember her talking about how serious, mature, and important it was then. I remember her talking about how it's nonsense, it's witch hunts, and it's BS, and I can't believe that they would do this to a sitting president. I remember that part when it wasn't serious or mature to do such a thing. But once she does it, it's serious and mature.
100%. You know, people are reminding us of a lot of the other arguably immature, at least inexperienced things she's done. She did effectively like use a House hearing to show revenge porn of non-consensual nude images. Let's see. She weirdly, creepily talked through the mail slot at Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Chased down like an utter maniac, a survivor of a school shooting. There's a lot of stuff that we could define as immature. I'd use other terms that are a little bit stronger, but at the very least, immature.
She maturely chased down a victim of gun violence within his school and berated him. That was pretty mature.
Ugh. She retweeted a video of Trump calling Mayorkas a, it starts with the P letter, and then there's more letters. So again, she... very mature, but also loves the potty talk. Anyway, look, the she brought up the situation at the border, and you know, she's horrified at what she sees. I'm sure it's not performative, but why don't we talk very briefly about what is actually happening there? And so the situation is that illegal border crossings from Mexico fell 14% in October from just a month earlier amongst certain populations. So, for instance, Venezuelans, the drop was actually more significant. It was 45% less. Arrests of Venezuelans fell by 74% in the second half of October from the same period of September. So if she thinks that these border crossings are the worst thing ever, then one would think a massive decrease in the border crossings would be cause for celebration. That, I guess, takes too much maturity. And by the way, I also want to let you know, maybe we'll focus more on this later on this week, that Governor Abbott of Texas is planning to sign legislation that would authorize law enforcement officers to arrest migrants. Look, I know that much of what Texas does is intended to, you know, see how far the SCOTUS is willing to go, but this is obviously not the province of Texas or any other state determining and, you know, being the adjudicator for actually the executing for immigration policy is the federal government's job. It's not the job of Texas. So we'll see if this gets challenged. It certainly should be. JR.
They're trying anything, bro. What's next? Citizens arrest? That's the next law that we're going to go back to. By the way, Texas did pop up on that. It's continuing legislation and campaigning off of hatred. It's the basics. It's so much so they don't even fully know that's their baseline. That's just the calling card of the party now. And when you see numbers, changes in numbers when it comes to immigration or even something that maybe is even working, do they actually want it to work? I was saying this, I think, with Anna before a couple weeks ago. When people are having these arguments about what is they want to get to when it comes to either like society or even versus like border issues, if things start working, are you happy? Or do you need it to continue to happen so that you can continue to complain about it and campaign and try to get into office and then benefit yourself off of it as well, too? I'm trying to figure out if people actually want these things to change or if they just want to complain about it because they're actually not doing anything to change it. And if you want to, you can work with someone who actually does want it to change as well, too. Because these numbers go down. They go, look at this. The numbers, they're not arresting Venezuelans anymore.
Yeah. No, it reminds me of like the ultimate example of that is when they'll tweet out like, the Biden administration seized 1 bajillion tons of fentanyl. That proves how bad the situation at the border is. Yeah, but they seized it. They stopped. It's not going in. I mean, maybe some of the people who seized it are using some of it, but it's not like it's a direct thing where good news is reinterpreted as still bad. Because again, it's performative. She doesn't actually care about any of this. Okay, with that said, we need to take our second break of the hour, but don't go anywhere because we're going to be closing the show, the first hour of the show with some significant stories, including the testimony of the man who attacked Paul Pelosi. We're going to play some fun video for you on that. And you might have noticed supermarkets starting to lock up more and more products. Yeah. Well, there's an idea for how you can improve on that as a strategy. We're going to evaluate it and more after this. Welcome back, one and all. Lots to talk about. Just briefly, I wanted to respond to Benjamin's comment during the social break about gifting membership, asking, does that help or is there a better way? Well, objectively, it definitely helps the network, you know, and whether gifting on YouTube or the, you know, you can do a similar version on Twitch. It is very helpful. Is there a better way? I don't know. I mean, honestly, you caring to help out in any way is pretty awesome. I mean, we can have a philosophical debate, but you're helping out. I mean, there's tons of stuff you can do to help out that doesn't have anything to do with finances. I mean, obviously that's very helpful. We don't have the backing of all these independent right-wing networks. But no, just paying attention to the news, talking about it with people around you, trying to, you know, spread and educate people about your value system, trying to, through the example of your life, make your value system look appealing. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that you can do and hopefully we are doing that. But thank you for asking and thank you for doing the memberships. Okay, with that said, lots more to talk about. Let's reset and do this. The man behind the absolutely brutal attack on Paul Pelosi, Nancy Pelosi's husband, is in court and has now apologized for the attack. Here is a clip.
We had no terror during my administration. The only terror we had was Nancy Pelosi, who's a crazed lunatic. She's a lunatic. She is a crazed lunatic. What the hell was going on with her husband? Let's not ask. Let's not ask. I'll withdraw that statement. By the way, she's got a wall around her house. Obviously, in that case, it didn't work very well, did it? It didn't work.
Oh, sorry, brain fart. That's not the guy who did the attack. That's one of the guys who inspired the attack. Sorry, I get those mixed up from time to time. That clip, by the way, is not years old. That just happened. Those jokes he was making were about the attack, which has already happened. Trump thinks it's hilarious. She's still Nancy Pelosi, the wife of the guy whose skull was bashed in by a right-wing lunatic, is the terrorist. And the walls didn't work, did they? It's funny. Maybe someone should do it again. This was a politically motivated act of shocking violence, and he is still joking about it. And by the way, that clip, I haven't even really seen that going around. At least like the vermin thing, like some people were talking about it. He is joking about a vicious attempted assassination and nobody cares. But anyway, my intro was true in that David DePape, the guy who did it, is actually testifying in court. He expressed his regrets for what he did. He said he planned, by the way, to wear a unicorn costume he brought to the home that night and use a hammer to interrogate Nancy Pelosi about what he believed were government-backed plots against Donald Trump and other matters. I don't know where he could have gotten the idea that there are these plots against Donald Trump, trying to shut him down or hurt his movement. I don't know where he could have gotten that idea. He said, I wanted her to use her to expose the truth. If she lied, I would break her kneecaps. By the way, a little bit more background on this guy. He testified that he was first drawn to right-wing conspiracies after learning about Gamergate. He says he would spend up to 6 hours a day playing video games while listening to political podcasts, which, you know, that actually sounds like a fun way to use the day. I have a feeling the podcast and maybe even the games are slightly different than I would be spending my time with. But he said he believed news outlets repeatedly lied about Trump. He mentioned CNN. He believed a number of different QAnon conspiracy theories. And he also told authorities that he had other targets other than Nancy Pelosi. So a women's and queer studies professor at the University of Michigan, Gavin Newsom, Tom Hanks, notably of the movie Burbs, and President Joe Biden's son, Hunter. And so he had a long list of people who the podcasts and the shows and the politicians had caused him to think need something to happen to them. And now he is apologizing. There's a lot out there, JR, obviously, that I threw out. What do you make of it? What do you make of the apology?
I'm still looking for it. Enemies list has been made. Do you think he created that list off top of his head? Do you think he came up with Gavin Newsom, Tom Hanks, because he just thought about it? Or maybe someone fed that to him. The fact that the former president is over here talking, I guess, on a campaign stop and talking about the Pelosi attack from however long ago as he's running for president 2024. I'm trying to figure out what this has to do with while he's running for president. I'm only asking that because I just want to highlight how much he doesn't talk about being president, how much he doesn't talk about what he'll do for all these idiots behind him that are chanting his name like he's really done something for them. Because when you ask them, we've seen some of these interviews, what happened for you under Donald Trump in those 4 years? There's never an answer that makes much sense outside of, well, he hated a lot of people that I hate too. That's the basis for it. He knows that. He knows that these folks like the one who attacked the Pelosi's would believe all this stuff. That's why he pushes it. That's why he and Elena Haba come outside of the courtroom every day and talk about Letitia James and the judge and then also his assistant and anyone else that they see that they don't like, because they have foot soldiers all over the place and they don't know when it's going to happen. That's the only thing they don't have control over, but they know that it could happen. And after it does happen, it becomes a joke and tagline. Right after, they say, who could have seen it coming? We have nothing to do with these folks. It was a lone wolf operation. I don't know where he got these ideas from that are exact parroting off of the things that we always say. I don't know how this ever happened. They move along and then it turns into a joke line a year later, because that's the whole purpose. Yeah. Be outraged by people, call them evil and satanic and murderers and bloodthirsty and coming for your children. Then send people after them. After that happens, start joking about it later. While you're on a campaign stop, which is about what? Absolutely effing nothing is what this whole thing's about. So what is he going to do for you guys? What's next? What's he going to do for you now? What's he going to do now? And by the way, I guess those walls around the Pelosi's didn't work. 5 seconds later, this fool's going to talk about how he's building a wall. Calm down.
Yeah, 100%. That is very funny. I think the answer to one of your questions is sort of wrapped up in what he's doing. What did he deliver for them? Well, Nancy Pelosi's husband's skull was cracked in. That's something that they clearly don't have a problem with. Maybe there'll be more of that. They've been trained to believe that the only thing that matters is taking down these satanic baby eaters. And so that's what they're delivering. It's not that he got on a hot mic and he said it. He said it to a crowd and they loved it. They think that that is funny. And I want to ask a serious question to our audience. If a month from now, somebody breaks into the home of, let's say, Speaker Johnson's house, bashes in his partner's skull, and then the next day and the next week and a year later, I mock them for being attacked, please tell me that you would stop listening to this show. Please tell me that you would not draw any satisfaction or pleasure or entertainment or humor out of that, because he is surrounded by people who do. They think there are a lot of people who need to have their skulls bashed in with hammers. And I want to imagine that we are better.
You remember Kathy Griffin lost a lot of her career over? Remember, do you remember what happened?
For the picture of Trump with his head cut off, yes. Mm-hmm.
Weird how that is. She did that violent imagery and then lost all these, you know, whatever it is she lost over career-wise and success-wise and all that stuff. This guy's literally laughing with a group of people over something that did happen. And it's celebrated. It turns into, oh, look at my president. I just want you guys to see the differences. And not that what Kathy Griffin did was right, but I want to see you, I'll show you guys the differences of the results.
Yeah. Have you had this experience? I've had it in many stores. You need to get something from a grocery store aisle. Like shampoo, deodorant, razors. And, oh, you can't just reach out and get it because that section is locked down. Maybe, like some of the supermarkets I go to, that entire section is locked down and you need an employee to help you out, bring you in there so that it's all seen, it's all authorized. Well, that's annoying a lot of people. And David Ash, fourth founder of Digital Media Vending International, has an idea for how to avoid that scenario. Take a look at this picture. It is an entire aisle for a store, like a grocery store, where it's all a big vending machine and robotic arms would give you the shampoo or the razors or God only knows that you need, formula maybe. And while it's still not super convenient, they acknowledge, to go through this process, they say it would be a lot faster than waiting for a manager to unlock a case of merchandise, saying it takes 15 seconds for the arm to get a product out of there. He's speaking to different retailers about this. Also, by the way, some retailers are asking about using bulletproof glass on the vending machines to combat smash and grabs. So look, what they're responding to with that is all these viral, like mass robberies that have happened. We're gonna talk about the actual numbers because we've all heard these stories, but that is that actually reflective of what's going on? We will talk about that. But JR, what do you make about like entire aisles just being replaced by robots?
Yeah, I actually thought it was gonna be just the cases, but they actually have you, you know, they wanna have you pay for it beforehand, or I guess in store, and then going and getting your receipt and going through this entire process. There's a new Target that opened up in Inglewood. I live, you know, not too far. And I was like, oh, new Target, you know, when new Target opens up, that it's like an amusement park for me. I went in there and then I was looking for detergent and some dryer sheets, both locked all the way up. So, wow, this is crazy. Why are they locking up detergent? I get the other stuff when people are popping Tide Pods and stuff. They locked all of it up. And I was like, yeah, man, goes to show you what they're doing in Inglewood. I literally left. I was like, I'll rather drive another 10, 15 minutes somewhere else before I deal with this process because of that inconvenience and what they're trying to tell folks they usually do, I guess. This is even worse. Now I got to go to the front, get some kind of receipt, then show you guys that and go through that tag process and punch the B12, 17, 27, and then you send it out. Oh my God. I might become the guy that I've always said I wouldn't, which is just sit at home and order stuff and have them bring it to me from Target. I hate that process because I don't like waiting for someone else to do what I can do. Other folks that need to, I get it. But for me personally, I'd be on the couch. This is way too many steps for me.
Is that the one near downtown Inglewood? I think that one's new.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. It's too small.
It is.
Anyway, it's really small. And there's the other one over by the stadium. I just go to that. But anyway, look. Is this, or should we expect to see more of this? I think so. It replaces needing an employee, and we know that they want that. And I have had experiences of having to wait a really long time to get a product, and it's super annoying. I would maybe, and this is not for David Ashforth to do, but like as a society, maybe we could step back and say, if we have gotten to a point where people feel they need to steal deodorant, maybe the problem isn't the theft. It's everything else that led to the theft. Maybe that is the actual problem. Maybe we should solve that. And look, I'm not saying that every bit of theft or some of these viral things are driven by true need. Sometimes on TikTok, it goes viral and people want to do it or whatever. So that's bad. But there's plenty of people who desperately need hair coloring products or shampoo or diapers or formula. And they are desperate. And a higher wall, a thicker pane of bulletproof glass isn't necessarily the ultimate solution to that problem. And by the way, I just want to point out, everybody's worried about shoplifting, and I understand that. But it is not actually skyrocketing. A 24-city sample that was done by the Council on Criminal Justice shows that current shoplifting levels are below pre-pandemic levels of 2018 and 2019. The difference is that we see more about it, and the media focuses more on it. That does not mean there's actually more shoplifting. We'll see what happens in the next few years. There's some indication that it's gone up a little bit in 2023. But don't believe the hype. They always do this when it comes to crime, especially crimes that can be pinned on the most desperate individuals.
Yeah. That's the easy way to do it. By the way, John, speaking of shoplifting really fast, I know we're done. I was at the grocery store the other day and then one of the employees tried to shoplift from me. I went to the chip aisle and I was like, where's the Lay's? And they were like $6.99. I was like, this is robbery. get the hell away from me before I call the cops on you. The prices of these things have gone so high that once you get a sale price, you go, oh, that's the former normal price. That's what they've got you on now. They're like, oh, the sale price, take $4 off. Now you only pay $5 for a block of cheese. Calm down.
Yeah, look, you don't understand. The only reason the prices had to go up was because of supply chain issues, which have been resolved. And for some reason, the prices are still high. I wonder what they're doing.
Figure it out.
Anyway, I can't figure it out. I'm a dum-dum. Anyway, with that said, that's the end of the first hour. Thank you, everyone who has been following this. There is more to come, though, in the aftermath on the other side of this. Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, John Adirola. I'll see you soon.